And the thing about people is when they have questions, they keep asking until they get an answer, whether or not it makes sense, and then they run with that answer. And on the next day, one day afterwards, there's a unique ABC video. I sent an audio clip to...
Oh, this is the one with Jennings talking to Stephanopoulos?
Yes. I don't know if you can play that or not.
Not on the air, but it's on our website.
Okay. It's where Peter Jennings is in the studio, asked George Stephanopoulos on the site, oh, where's all the rubble? Where'd the rubble go? And Peter Jennings says, well, I've been asking folks that, and one of the workers said it all fell down to the ground and was pulverized and evaporated.
That's also what a lot of people have been saying about the plane that supposedly hit the Pentagon. Where did it go?
It's just, get a small hole there and a lot of questions.
Okay, now let's go through some of the main phenomena that you found as you did your research.
Well, I'd say the biggest thing where I started was with the bathtub. The bathtub is this water retaining wall around the base of the towers. They were actually built in the Hudson River, and it's sort of a dike built around them to hold the river out.
All right.
The basement is about 30 feet below the water table. So if you have these 500,000-ton buildings, each 500,000 tons, crashing down on the bathtub, they damage it.
They should have smashed it.
Right. And flooded all of southern Manhattan and all of the subways and the Pathfinder tunnels, but they didn't. They couldn't have crashed down.
Now, the weight alone would have crushed it, right?
Right, with the debris slamming down.
With that force.
Correct.
Almost like a tsunami of rubble, but it never happened.
Right. But 2 days later, they had the earth-moving equipment coming in to help clean up. And that equipment damaged the bathtub wall.
Huh. Why did they also come in and take some of the metal girders away so fast?
We're told that. We're told that that's what happened. We're told it was all shipped to China, or someplace like that. But you look and you say, did they ship it by noon on 9/11? Because the material is gone by then.
All right, well, let's get into this now, Judy, and let's get into it in a big way. If you don't think the planes alone brought down the buildings, that there weren't bombs there or some controlled demolition, what the heck do you think would have caused the pulverizing of those buildings?
Well, I had gone through all the evidence first, and I think that's important to let the evidence lead the way. Someone who taught me well gave me this motto, empirical evidence is the truth that theory must mimic. So we must start with the evidence first, not the theory. And so many folks, for example, the smoke. If you call it smoke, then you think fire. It's already biasing your observation.
Sure.
But if you just keep letting the evidence speak, and as I say, let the evidence tell you exactly what happened. You don't know what happened, keep listening until you do, because the evidence will always speak the truth. And once you keep listening all the different characteristics, strange characteristics, you start noticing a pattern to them. And after I had discovered all of these characteristics and listed them, I just happened upon this blog of someone, and wow, they had reproduced every single one of the same phenomenon I had seen. I thought that was mighty strange. That was the blog of John Hutchison.
I know John.
And it was amazing, the similarities. I'm not saying this is the Hutchison effect. What I'm saying is the same mechanism involved. You do the same things. And what I call fuzzy blobs, he even has a name for it. Carl, he calls it. With his, so he's seen the same things. And the thing that scared me the most about... I saw this ongoing effect, and someone who had written up something on John's work also stated that the more mass involved, the less it would be self-quenching, that it wouldn't stop, it would keep going. And I've seen evidence of that, too. the ongoing, you know, fuming for months and months and years. And just as of 1 month ago, I think it was, they finally got Bankers Trust down to ground level. They've been taking it apart all this time.
Yeah. The subtitle of your book is Evidence of Directed Free Energy Technology.
If you look at the cover of this book, that's probably the most important thing that people should note from this. You look at it, and everyone who is aware of the event that day, which is essentially everyone on the planet, this was a demonstration of free energy technology. We know it works. It's not a theory. It's not guesswork. It's not speculation. The building's gone.
Well, when you talk about free energy technology, though, one would think of it in terms of a very uplifting, positive result. This was not. To me, then, if what you say is correct, this is a weapon.
It was weaponized. Tesla apparently wanted to share this, 100 years ago, but he was afraid it would be used for evil instead of good. Well, we don't have that risk anymore. It's already being used for evil, so there's no harm in using it for good. But the important thing is that we all make that choice. Ignoring it is the worst thing.
Where would the device have to be located in order to do what it apparently did?
I'm not so concerned of where it's located. It's not just, one thing. It's not like a ray beam from space, which a lot of folks, label.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Is that possible?
Where it is isn't so important as the interference effect. How John Hutchison creates the same effect is through interfering radio frequency signals within a static field. And it's where the interference takes place that's important.
And does it come at you like a force field?
It's where the things intersect. And how I came to that, well, my background is in interferometry. That's my area of expertise.
What the heck is that?
Interference of energy fields. I used optical interferometry to measure deformations in materials. But you get a different effect where things interfere. You get constructive and destructive interference. And there's a picture I also gave to put on your website with I call it the wax spot car, the wax job car. I named different pictures with different characteristics that were aha moments for me. And this is a police car that looks like the back end has a new wax job, brand new. The front is completely toast. What I mean by toast is it's history, not repairable, totaled. And there's a, perfect line between the toasted part and the pristine part. Fire doesn't do that.
If what you say is correct, Judy, in that there was some kind of directed, weaponized technology here, regardless of Bin Laden and the 19 hijackers, they didn't possess equipment like this.
I don't think so.
It's either got to be possessed by, a one-world government, some shadow government, or one or two major countries, Russia, the United States, maybe China. That would be it.
It wouldn't really take that many people involved either. When folks would say, it was an inside job, the beginning of my preface, I state, for the record, I do not believe that our government is responsible for executing these events.
Say that one more time for people who probably think you would say that. Say it again.
For the record, I do not believe that our government is responsible for executing the events of 9/11. Nor do I believe that our government is not responsible for executing the events of 9/11. It's not a case of belief. This is a crime that should be solved by a forensic study of the evidence. Before you can determine who did it, it must first be determined what was done and how it was done.